Welcome to the iPod, a podcast series from Ophthalmology Times, where we engage with key opinion leaders about the latest innovations in the areas of surgery, clinical diagnosis, drug therapy, research, technology, or practice management.
I'm David Hutton, editor of Ophthalmology Times. The American Academy of Ophthalmology's 2020 annual meeting is going virtual this year. In this virtual setting, we will continue to bring you all the news you've come to expect. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Ehsan Rahimi, who is presenting GA-related data that was made possible through the joint efforts of Apellis, the American Academy of Ophthalmology IRIS Registry, and Verana Health. Dr. Rahimi, thanks for joining us and tell us about your presentation.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be on today and to discuss this exciting late-breaking abstract that we presented at the AAO.
And tell us about your presentation.
Definitely. This was kind of a collaboration, as you alluded to, is supported by Apellis Pharmaceuticals in conjunction with Verana Health and the data that we had retrieved from the AAO IRIS Registry database. As we know and we've seen from numerous other studies that are being published in recent years, the IRIS Registry, which is established by our AAO, provides like a unique opportunity for our field in ophthalmology and especially numerous subspecialties to address very important questions that we have about the natural history of various disease processes. In this particular case, looking at real-world progression of geographic atrophy secondary to macular degeneration. So we have many studies, smaller scale out there, that help define clinical characteristics and risk of progression of geographic atrophy, which we know is an area of huge unmet medical need in our profession. But this study is very unique and nice in terms of its size. This is the largest scale study of its kind, and it really evaluated patients over a long period of time. Together with our co-investigators, we looked out over a two-year period to see how patients in the IRIS Registry essentially progressed in terms of their GA moving from either from a parafoveal to foveal location or in terms of it converting into a neovascular wet AMD at that point and requiring treatment.
And what does this mean for patients?
I think we learned some very valuable, digestible points from the study. A lot of what we can corroborate and make sense with our anecdotal experience in the real world. So the first was, when we looked at the inclusion and exclusion criteria into the study, roughly 172,000 once criteria were patients were qualified. But then once we applied the last requirement, which is requiring at least 2 years of follow-up, that number plummeted to only 69,000. And so that was the first real take-home point or aha moment, which is these patients tend to fall off the map. I think we can all recall instances of specialists. We get a one-time referral to see a patient complaining of progressive vision loss, looks like they have dry AMD and geographic atrophy. And unfortunately, at that time, other than taking ARED supplements and lifestyle measures, we don't have a good treatment or therapy to arrest the disease process and help further protect the vision. And too often, what we end up seeing is these patients don't return for follow-up. So that was one really key take-home point here from the study, is that we need to harp on patient education. Although we don't have good treatments nowadays, there are numerous therapies that are in clinical trials, and to help at least in part of some hope and optimism that hopefully one of these therapies will work, to continue to encourage these patients to seek ongoing ophthalmic care, make sure that they don't disappear for long periods of the time, not just for the macular degeneration or GA sake, just continuing to check on their general eye health and making sure they're not having concurrent other ophthalmic conditions which could potentially take away vision, such as cataract and glaucoma and other related conditions. So that, I think that was a very big take-home point from the study. When you actually dive into the results, a number of the salient points are at the index point, at the point at which we started the study, a good majority of the patients, over half, had 20 or 40 or better vision. So they had good visual acuity when we started. And then after a year one and year two, patients progressively lost more and more vision, which is, I think, again, consistent with what a lot of us see in clinical practice and what makes this such a frustrating condition to take care of. In particular, one of the ways we analyzed these visual outcomes was we looked at the proportion of patients that had started with visual acuity better than 20 over 40 and then looked over the ensuing 2 years to see what proportion ended up less than 20 over 40. And we had different subgroups in which we were kind of categorizing patients. Roughly a third of patients across all these subgroups ended up that were 20 over 40 or better to start with ended up less than 20 over 40 after only 2 years. And that's really alarming. Mind you, we're looking at just the study eye, which is one eye. But if if this happened to be a patient's better seeing eye, then you're talking about losing their ability to drive. So that's significantly associated with the patient's autonomy. Similarly, we looked at the progression of vision to decline to less than 20 over 200 in patients who were seeing previously better than that at the index period. So at the conclusion of 2 years, again, a substantial portion of patients were now less than 20 over 200 that were previously better than that across all these subgroups. And again, the way to kind of reconcile that or think about it is, if this were a patient's better seeing eye, well, now that they meet the criteria for legal blindness. So both of these types of scenarios just point to significant, I think, real world ramifications of how geographic atrophy can progress and significantly impact the quality of life for our patients.
And what's the next step in this research?
I think what we were particularly interested in is those that are lost to follow-up. We've seen a number of nice, elegant studies that have been done in our field looking at loss to follow-up and outcomes for patients receive with various retinal conditions, diabetic macular edema, wet AMD, RVO, that have come out of some of the institutions. And I think in particular, we want to focus on what's happening to these patients that are being lost to follow-up and how are they ending up showing back up into the retina doctor or the ophthalmologist's office. So that's one area that we're looking to investigate a little bit further. Another point that we noted here was these patients were broken up into subgroups. So in the study eye, they obviously had geographic atrophy, but then we also broke them up based on what the fellow eye status was. So either patients, if they were in cohort 1A, we called it, they had cohort 1, they had GA basically in both eyes. If they were in cohort 2, they had GA in the study eye, and the other eye had already converted to neovascular AMD. And then in each group, they were kind of subdivided further on whether the GA lesions were foveal or extrafoveal. So doing a deeper dive and looking how these individual subgroups behaved in terms of loss of vision during the study period, as one would expect, one of the signals we saw that in the cohort where the fellow eye had neovascular AMD already, during that two-year period, there was a substantially higher risk of the study eye progressing from GA to neovascular AMD, almost three times higher than in the group that had bilateral GA. So that was an interesting bullet point as well that we're taking a further look at.
And in closing, what's your take-home message?
I think our take-home message, which you know underlined multiple times here, is GA is a significant unmet clinical need in the field of ophthalmology. It's an extremely, I think, frustrating disease process for providers, but also for patients and their family members, as it remains a significant cause of slow progressive vision loss in our patients. And I think in this study, we see a significant number of patients do fall off, don't maintain their follow-up. And I think it falls on us, the onus as the providers, to provide unique education points to these patients, to impart a message of hope that new therapies are coming about, but to definitely continue to maintain their follow-up. And also knowing that they can be at risk for progression to neovascular AMD, which we do have good treatment for.
Thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it. This is
thank you for having me on.
Fascinating work. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the iPod. We hope you subscribe at iTunes and let us know what topics you'd like to hear more about. Stay connected by going to ophthalmologytimes.com, subscribing to our newsletter, and following us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. We'll see you next time.